Hey there, everybody. Welcome along to another Tech Talk UK. This is show number 131. And we're recording this in the UK on Sunday, the 5th of November, 2023, obviously. And I'm welcomed by Mr. Richard Yates, apparently.
Good morning, Kev. Hello, everybody. And hopefully this time you can hear me.
Yeah, we've switched to FaceTime audio, so I'd welcome comments on how clear it sounds. It sounds pretty good from the recording end.
It's got to be better than the last time I was on 4 weeks ago. That was just dire, wasn't it?
Skype still doesn't work. For me, I can't. Whoever it is, it isn't just you, by the way. I tested it with a few other people, and it comes through at something like minus 36 dB, which is basically nothing, you know.
Steve did an amazing job helping out, didn't he?
He did, absolutely. So I would welcome comments. Steve did also make the point that he would never ever use a Bluetooth mic. I know you are using one right now. I haven't bought.
I'm not using a Bluetooth. No.
Oh, you're back on the Boya.
I've only ever been on the Boya.
Oh, I thought you said you bought Boya Bluetooths.
No. Mates. Oh, well, I do have, but I'm actually using the wired one today on the basis that I thought I might as well give it the best possible chance of working this time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it had worked for the three shows before.
Yeah, that's true.
So
I think it
was Audio Hijack, was it?
Yeah. Sounds well. No, it's not. It's Skype. It's nothing to do with Audio Hijack. It's Skype. Skype is definitely the problem, and it will probably right itself. But if we can get away with FaceTime, and there's loads of others to try.
Don't worry.
Yeah, exactly. We just don't need another third party thing running in the background. So yeah, good show. Let's have a look. Any comments welcomed on the quality, and we shall take it from there. So we haven't spoken actually for a month or so.
Certainly
on here, I should say. So probably not a lot has changed for both of us, I guess, in that time.
I think I have almost no phones in common with when I was last talking to you. Actually,
okay, then let's go through what you've got then.
No, I have got one. Well, I blame Steve for this. Basically, I've got another Pixel Fold, which will reduce you to derisive laughter, I'm sure, and I know at least one of our listeners is going to give me some serious stick for this. Why did I get another Pixel Fold? Well, it comes down to last time I went away for a break, I was more or less forced to use the Pixel 7 Pro for photographing because I'd managed to screw up the S23 Ultra by putting the beta on it, which what I didn't realise was there was some bad interactions between the beta and the camera. And I kind of really quite enjoyed using the 7 Pro, actually. I was thinking, well, I travel quite a lot. You know, what about the Fold again? Because the one thing the Fold is really good for is things like Kindle, because you can have, like, two pages, for example, or whatever. And, well, cutting a long story short, one turned up on the forum when I bought it and sold the Z Fold 4. And the reason is, although it's hard to put a finger on it, really, the Z Fold 4, the software is definitely more polished than the Pixel. But I really like the form factor of the Pixel. I like it more than the form factor of the 7 and 8 Pro, for example. It's a really nice size. You know, it's sort of loosely BlackBerry Passport sized, but it's not as high as all of the current top end smartphones. That's the thing I like about it. It's a really good size in my hand. The internal screen, it doesn't have as many bells and whistles as Samsung has. There's various stories about how the December software update will actually improve some of the shortcomings at the moment. Well, let's see if they do or if they don't. I thought, well, yeah, I think maybe I will give it another go, and so I have. So that's changed. I've not got the Z Fold 4 anymore. I upgraded the 7 Pro to an 8 Pro, so that's different. And, of course, the iPhone, I don't think we just got the iPhone last time we spoke with Mike. I'm not sure I had.
I had that problem ordering, but
either that or I only just got it. So sort of, not intentionally, I've ended up with an almost entirely different set of phones from last time.
You said I would take the, I would laugh at the fact that you got a Pixel Fold. I would only do that if you'd spent £1,800 on it, which you clearly haven't.
Uh, which I didn't know.
No, exactly. And I think Steve said on PSC today that, you know, it's a crazy price, and he picked these up for around the grand, I think. And that sounds much more sensible, because we're used to spending well over a grand on an iPhone. So, you know.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I actually blame Steve wholeheartedly for this, because I was very happy with the Z Fold 4 until he started doing all of his shorts and whatever else. And I thought, well, he's got a point about that, you know.
Yeah.
And also, I'd had the Z Fold 4 for, what, I don't know, 6 months, I suppose.
I'm guessing the Pixel Fold front screen is fairly similar to my Pixel 8 size wise.
I would. I've never seen a Pixel 8, but yeah. I would imagine probably yes. It's a bit wider, maybe.
I don't know, but
possibly it's going to be in the same sort of league, I would have thought. Mm. But I mean, I managed to find a really nice case for it, which has got a MagSafe bit on the back, and also has got a little stand so you can prop it up to watch it. Well, I can see I might get some use out of that. So anyway, cutting a long story short, yes, at the price I paid for it, I thought I'm going to give it another go. Mm. I got a really really quite decent trading on the Z Fold 4, actually, because you remember it was one of those GIF GAF 599 ones. Well,
yeah.
I think Mazuma Mobile gave me £470 for it. So it's cost me £120 to play with for 5 or 6 months.
Yeah.
Unlike Music Magpie, it's quite funny, I actually traded two things in, or sold two things to recyclers. I sent one to Mazuma because they gave me the best price, and the other one I thought, well, okay, I'm going to send it to Music Magpie, hold my breath and see what happens. Mm. So they were both delivered on the same day. By 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Mazuma had paid out. Music Magpie didn't actually acknowledge that it had arrived for 3 days. And then they sent me an email saying it's arrived this morning and we're going to look at it today. And I'm thinking, well, I've got a thing from Royal Mail which says that you delivered, they delivered it and you signed for it 3 days ago.
Mm.
But anyway, cutting a long story short, they then did pay out. So, yeah, okay, that's all right. But I was quite impressed with Mazuma, actually. They were very efficient, and it was easily the best price as well. So
yeah, fair enough. I've only really ever used Music Magpie. In fact, John Lewis have just introduced the a brand new trading thing. But the problem is they've made it that you can trade in store. But I think we've only done one so far. But the problem is going to be that people think it's like a car. They think they're going to get the money knocked off the item they're buying, and they're not. All we're doing is posting it for them. It's just what they do themselves, sort of thing. But certainly with the early, I can't remember who we're doing it in conjunction with. I do know, actually, a company called Likewise, but I've not with that. They're a repairer for us, but I don't think I've ever heard of them out in the general marketplace. But certainly the ones I've run at the moment, I'll be quite honest, they're not as high as you can get out in the general the general market.
Yeah, I agree, and I did think about that, but at the time, I mean, there were two things I got rid of. One was Pixel 13 Pro 256, not Pixel 13, iPhone 13 Pro 256, cutting a long story short, it used to belong to James once upon a time. But I actually got a better price out of them than out of Apple when I bought Fiona's new phone, so it went there. Yeah, I possibly could have sold it for more on the forum, but the trouble is the forum was absolutely full of iPhone 13s and Z Folds the week I happened to do this. And that's never a very good basis for dealing with it, because you just end up haggling for ages. And actually, you know, time is always the thing for me. I run out of time. So I thought, no, on this occasion, I'm not going to do it. If it had been something, you know, unusual that was sort of sought after, well, maybe. But when you had a forum, which I think had got 4 13 pros in it the week I actually disposed of these, which, you know, it's fine, great, shows the forum's doing a good job. But then you're just sort of left sitting around waiting to see who picks what, aren't you? So
yeah, absolutely. It's the scheme we got at work it's only been up and running for about 2 weeks, and we'd done our first one yesterday, I think, which I wasn't there to do, and I don't know whether it was a trade-in. I think it's very hard for people to trade in. If you're coming in to buy a new iPhone or a new Samsung and you've got your old one, you can't just hand your old one over. take the SIM out and hand it over to us, because you presumably you want to go home and make sure the transfer goes okay first. So then you've got to bring it back, you know, which you may not live, because there's obviously not hundreds of John Lewis's around the Suffolk area. There's us, and then there's a next nearest is Chelmsford or Norwich. So we drag people in from a wide area. Coupled with the fact that everyone thinks you're going to knock it off my price today, then are you? Well, no, we're not. We're going to send it away. It still has to be assessed. They can still come back and say no. And I worry a little bit. It hasn't transpired yet, but it's only 2 weeks in. I do worry a little bit that, you know, we're going to look it up on the website, and we do make it clear to people that it's not a guaranteed price. It's sort of an up-to price, as long as it's described properly. And it's up to us how we describe it, not the customer. But I do worry that they're going to come back to us if they get offered 50 quid less, or go on social media and blame us for it.
Quite likely, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I don't see it as a great idea, if I'm brutally honest. But the other odd thing is people can just bring devices into us. And we have had a few people asking about that, but they're bringing in like iPhone 4s and 5s and 6s, and of course they're not even on the scheme, clearly. They're not going to be, you know. I usually, because I obviously do all the setups for the new ones, and I usually say to people, because people often ask me to wipe their old one, and I try and persuade them, just keep the old one for, you know, just keep it for a week and make sure the transfer went okay. Do you know what I mean? And most people take that advice, I think, generally. But especially with some of our customers, I've had three devices this week that have never been backed up, not even once. Not to a laptop, not to iCloud, you know, and they're 4 or 5 years old. And if the people lose those, if they had lost those or had it run over by a bus or something, every picture they had would be gone. I must tell this story, because this week I was called over to say a lady would like to have a laptop set up and also have a phone transferred to a Pixel 7a. So I was quite excited. The first real success, I think, of our new Pixel table, because she was just open for a sensible Android phone, didn't want iPhone, just based on price and the fact that she's got no other Apple kit. And I went out, have a little guess as the phone that she currently owns and was to be transferred to the Android.
So this was a 7A. Well, you just said it was to be transferred to the Android, so I'm going to guess she got a really old iPhone.
She had a Windows phone, a Lumia 930, nonetheless.
Oh, well, I mean, great phone in its
great
day.
Phone.
But, I mean,
Great to see it again.
I'm news that it was. She still got it though. There's not much of it would work now, would it?
No, indeed. And that was obviously one of the reasons to change it. She had it for a while. Absolutely loved it, because she saw it very much as an extension of Windows, which she uses in her work and at home. And she's absolutely loved it. Still running. Still getting phone calls. Still getting text messages. The only thing she wants off it was photos, and she had about 1,500 photos on there. So what I've done is I'm not doing the setup until next week, because we didn't have the items in stock, so we've ordered them, and I'm going to do them when I get back to work on Tuesday. But basically, we've just agreed that all the old photos will just go on the new laptop, rather than trying to find a way for me to get them off. So I simply took the Windows phone out the back, plugged it in with a good old micro USB cable to our sort of unconnected to the internet laptop for data security sort of thing. And I've copied those all off onto a Samsung T7, which is now locked away, can't be used now until Tuesday, because obviously it's got those on. And then on Tuesday I shall transfer those to a brand new laptop. We were looking at ways of we were sort of thinking through ways of getting those photos on her Pixel. I don't think I'll be able to plug the Pixel in and just drag those over. I don't think it works like that with Android. Windows. I don't know.
Has she got a Google Photos account?
She hasn't, no. So she will have, because I'm setting her up a new Gmail. So she will have, and that will be an option for her to do if she wants. But as she said, she doesn't really want all those photos on the new phone necessarily anyway. But yeah, very, very good. the Windows phone just plugged in and appeared as a drive in Windows, you know, and very, very easy to do. It took a decent while for 1500 photos. There was two files of each photo, a thumbnail and a high res version. I was very, very busy Friday and off the weekend, so I had to quickly do it, and I haven't had any chance to look at the file, you know, output file sizes. And obviously we're not allowed to actually open the photos themselves, so I don't know too much there. But, yeah, absolutely very interesting.
I mean, I got to say, I do actually regret the demise of Windows Phone.
Yeah,
I
mean, so did she. She was hoping to get another one.
There's lots of reasons why it didn't succeed, you know. I mean, I can think of several. Microsoft didn't throw money at getting the app developers to produce stuff. Google were as intransigent as they possibly could be.
Yeah.
But the hardware itself was great. I mean, one thing I've always thought was a real shame is that Microsoft didn't make it possible to unlock the bootloaders, because I'm fairly sure some of these phones would have had great Android ports if they'd been willing to do that. Whereas, as far as I know, it's not been done. I mean, I'm probably going to be proven wrong on that one. But it's just a shame. I mean, I remember when it all started, when they said they were going to go to Windows Phone, I bought at that point Nokia hadn't got any, and I thought, well, if this is going to be the future, I'd better get a Windows Phone. And I found Samsung had a Windows Phone at that time, Windows 7 it would have been, I guess. I was shocked by how primitive it was. You know, you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that, you couldn't do the other. The actual hardware was stunning. I mean, you could run a tank over that phone and it would have survived. It was beautiful. Yeah. And it looked quite nice too, but it just had no functionality. And I don't know, when you think, what Windows Mobile 6 was like, it was, I mean, obviously it's obvious what went wrong. It became very easy to hack into it and do all sorts of other things. But that was a fully-fledged OS. And then they produced this thing that might have been acceptable 5 years beforehand, but it was just a joke on the market, and they never really caught up.
No.
So
I wanted to check the SIM size for the Pixel because I couldn't remember. I thought it was Nano, which it was, but had to look up on YouTube how to get the SIM tray open. It's a very weird looking SIM tray. I thought the back came off to start with, but obviously it doesn't. It's got this funny little lift up flap on the top. And there was no micro SD card, which I thought they had, but clearly they never did.
I think that one didn't. I mean, yeah. I had a 930 for a long time. I absolutely loved it as a phone. Its big failing was they cheaped out on an always-on display, which was a big fail because the 1020 and whatever had an always-on display. But it was a damn good camera, and it was a damn good phone.
This lady absolutely loves it, and I think actually the Pixel 7a will be a great choice, actually. I think that'll work.
Yeah, if she puts
well.
Microsoft Launcher on it or something, it'll probably feel quite familiar, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, looking forward to actually doing that on on Tuesday. I'm going to just talk a little bit about the Pixel 8.
I'm really interested to hear your thoughts on this, actually.
Yeah. Can't remember what we've said on the show, so I don't think we've said that much about it. I think I just about got it. I'd looked at it for quite some time, and since the Pixel, basically when the Pixel table came in, was the first time I had to see it in the flesh, and for the first time for a long time with any Pixel, it had a screen that looked both bright enough for me. I'm actually only on 92% brightness, which is incredible. And clear enough and nice and clear, you know, compared to the previous Pixels. And even the 7a that I see on the thing wouldn't do it for me right now in terms of screen. So I wanted one right from the off, and I'm trying to think what they are. 699, I think they're 699 for a 128, aren't they? Yeah, I'm sure they are.
Something like that.
Yeah, 699, I'm sure it is. And I looked around. I was using the only SIM I really had, apart from dabbling with eSIMs as usual. The only main SIM I had was the Smarty Smarty Sim, which was unlimited. Unlimited at £16, which is actually, you know, a bargain, to be perfectly honest. Main reason for use is we have 5G at work. I do have to walk to the front of the store to really ramp it up. I'm talking about top floor and maybe 10 meters from the front of the store, probably 200 to 300 megabits per second. Go to the front door, or even better, just outside the front door when it's warm enough. And we're talking, I've had over 1,000 megabits per second.
Yeah, you've had over a gigabit.
Yeah, literally. And even this week, having swapped that to ID Mobile, which in theory should be exactly the same, of course, I got up to about 890. I downloaded a 7 gigabyte IPSW iPad file in about 1.5 minutes. It's just staggering. You know, you can see the attraction of this thing, and it's nice to be downloading something sensible with it rather than simply running speed tests and using up all your data. So I looked at all the contracts. I'm sorry about the croaky voice. I've got a blinking cold coming. I'm pretty sure of it. So I looked at contracts, and you know, contracts are a little bit strange to look at the moment, because you've sort of got to factor in the increases. And so I wrote a quick spreadsheet to sort of calculate what it would be over 2 years with the increases, and I guessed it. I think I put 10% in for next year, and I think I might have put 8% in for the following year. I'm literally just guessing. I've got no idea what's going to happen to inflation, obviously. And if I'm right, it works out to about £50 more to buy it through ID Mobile. And I didn't go direct. I went through a third party, mobiles.co.uk, I think, which is the same as Carphone Warehouse as well. In actual fact, I should get the same amount of cash back with Top Cashback or Quidco. I can't remember which one. I should get the same amount back, as it's going to cost more than buying the thing outright and sticking with Smarty. Really not a lot in it. I've convinced myself, at least, that it's £12 a month once I take the Smarty into account, certainly until next April, and then maybe a little bit more, and then a little bit more the year after. I dropped to 100 gigabytes from unlimited, but I looked at every month, including my holiday month, where I did use a hell of a lot, and it only got up to 73 gigabytes of data, and that's using it at work extensively, etc., etc. But one of the other drivers behind getting a Pixel is that the iPhone, after using it for nearly a year, if I had a problem with our Wi-Fi or whatever, I would simply take it out the front of the store, connect the iPhone to the turn the hotspot on, connect the other device to that, and download all the files and all the updates. It is, for some reason, and I'd welcome feedback on this, it no longer downloads iOS updates. So obviously each time we do a setup, we have to download currently 17.1, and there is no way that this will now work when hooked up to an iPhone hotspot.
It's very odd, isn't it?
It's very, very strange. And the minute you switch it to the hotspot on the Pixel, it comes flying down. It just sees it as Wi-Fi. But the iPhone or iPad that you're setting up just says paused, waiting for Wi-Fi. And I have no idea why. I've looked into it. James made a suggestion on the last show to look for unmetered, but I couldn't see anything like that on the last one I'd done. To be honest, it's been so busy at work in tech support that I haven't really had time to experiment. I've just, you got customers waiting for their setup. You just got to get on and get it done, sort of thing. So I think I wanted that, and I really like the idea of carrying two phones, especially when they're as light as they are. This interesting, actually, that the weight of the Pixel 8 is identical to the weight of the 15 Pro. at 187 grams. So
that's interesting, isn't it?
Because it's pretty surprising, yeah. It kind of just shows you how much lighter titanium is than the stainless steel was, because obviously last year that was about 206 for the 14 Pro, I believe. Mm. I have enjoyed it. It's not as slick, and I think, you know, I think we know that to some degree. I'm just trying to remember if I've got the 120 hertz on, because obviously neither of us can really tell the difference between 60 and 120 display. Let's have a look. Have I or haven't I? I've got smooth display on, actually. So I've left that on. So I have got 120 on. And just in a few little areas, and it's really fairly trivial. There's just a little tiny bit of a weight, whereas the iPhone would pull it up immediately. And I guess we all know that the chips in the iPhones were a little bit ahead even of Snapdragons, I guess, unless it was the very latest. But I don't think the Tensor, even in its G3 form, is particularly fast. It's more about the AI and everything, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it doesn't come over to me as very slow. It doesn't come over to me as very fast. It's perfectly fine.
It's just fine. Yeah, it's the same chip, is it? Is it the G3? I guess in the Fold.
I think it is.
Must be in the Fold.
I'm not. No, I don't think.
Oh,
it is.
Oh no, is it the two? Is it?
I think it might be. Hang on, let's go to GSM Arena and find it.
Yeah, I guess we should know this. I don't know.
I think it's the Tensor 2.
Oh, okay.
We'll find out in a minute.
Apparently, the 3 has jumped quite a way ahead of that. But I know you're not particularly interested in benchmarks, nor am I really. Generally, it's pretty irrelevant with a phone, to be honest.
Yes, Tensor G2 is the Fold.
G2, interesting. So yeah. I haven't. So it's how long's the Fold been out now then?
May.
May. Oh, well, I guess. Yeah.
Tell a lie. That was announced in May. Available June. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, okay. That's an interesting one. I've always been completely interchangeable. You know, I've got all on the iPhone. Everything is Google anyway. It's Chrome. It's Gmail app.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I'm the same. Everything is.
Yeah. I mean, I've got my most used app is, well, it's not actually, because it's probably Telegram, but my most used general app that other people might have is Audible, and I've got the same book. I'm currently reading the latest Strike novel. Reading I use loosely, because I'm obviously listening. And I whatever phone I happen to have, I will press the button. When I go to bed now, I stick the iPhone on charge on the little MagSafe. The other one goes on a normal Qi charger. And whatever my AirPods connect to first, whether it be the iPhone, some nights it's the iPhone, other nights it connects to the Pixel first. And I just press the button. And Audible is so good at syncing across devices. It's absolutely incredible.
I can't cope with listening to books when I'm going to sleep, because what inevitably happens is I fall asleep and then I wake up and I don't know where I was when I fell asleep.
Absolutely. So you just rewind it until you find where you were. And because I always set a 30-minute timer, I know exactly how long it took me to...
I suppose there is that.
I know. Exactly. And last night it was approximately 5 minutes into the 30 and I fell asleep. That was the last thing I can remember. And, I mean, this current book is 33 hours, I think. So it's quite a book. She's fairly prolific when she writes, I think, and she lots of detail and lots of, I mean, you either like it or you don't. I quite like it. I think it's quite good.
I've never read any books. I watched the TV series.
Yeah, and I mean they're pretty. Yeah, I mean TV series rarely live up to the books, I find, and that goes across the board, I think. And the beauty for me of audio books, and again, it's 100% down to the narrator. You know, some of them are absolutely appalling because you'll get ladies that can't do guys' voices. And it's probably harder for them to do a guy's voice than the other way around. But luckily, the narrator for all the Strike books is the same one. They'll also change narrators halfway through a series, which is absolutely jarring, you know, because you're used to someone appearing. But it is really like a movie in your head, really. I highly recommend it, because Audible, you can just get a trial anyway, so you've got nothing to lose by giving it a go. And, of course, you can, on Kindle, you can often add the Audible book for a couple of quid. And I mean, the damn thing switches between. You know, you can be reading it on your Audible and then you can switch.
Yeah,
absolutely amazing. But yeah, you either like it or you don't. But, you know, in terms of apps, it's just a question of pressing the same one. I still think, as a complete generalisation, I still think I could find a lot more apps that are better on iPhone or iOS than I can find that are better on Android. In fact, I'm trying to think of any app at the moment that I think is better on Android than it is on iOS. A lot of them are very, very similar, of course. The other great thing is I bought that little gadget that you laughed at in the car, the little thing that turns my vehicle. I'm just trying to think what my vehicle's got. I think it's got both, actually, wired. I think it's got wired Android Auto and wired AirPlay, CarPlay, sorry. But even if it only had CarPlay, it would still, this little sort of 60 quid box would still convert it to wireless Android Auto. It's got the chips in to do that as well. Yeah. It's just brilliant. The only thing is I haven't found how to get rid of old phones on there yet. So it's still got, when I load, it comes up with four. It always selects the last one. It selects it within about, by the time you got your seatbelt on and got down, you probably go down the road about 500 metres or something before it finds it. It picks up from where it left off. Occasionally, it will select the last one always. But if you, for example, only take one phone with you because you're nipping to the shop, then it will find, you know, it will find that one on its own. You don't have to do anything. Absolutely turned out to be brilliant. I definitely prefer CarPlay to Android Auto, I think, generally speaking. It's a slightly better display, I think.
I've never tried it, I must admit.
Yeah, I've switched over to Waze now, full-time.
I use Waze.
It's just nice to have it on in the background, because even if you haven't planned a route, it tells you about cameras and people stuck on the side of the road and, you know, water ahead.
That's got a real value, actually, isn't it?
It's really good. I use it all the time now, and it's absolutely brilliant, absolutely superb. Can't fault it in the slightest. So pretty chuffed with that. Run me through the sims you got at the moment. You how many have you got?
I've got sim on EE, that's my main sim.
Yeah.
And then I've got a sim I use for 2FA only. Yeah. And then I've got a Sky sim.
So you got three, basically, yeah. Mm. I must be an expert now on swapping sims and changing them around and trying different things. And I've had a funny old week, really. We won't get into, I mentioned it on MeWe yesterday, we won't get into Leica and their political allegiances and their criminal activities and all that sort of thing.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. Why are we not going to mention their criminal activities?
Well, you can mention it if you want, but I'm going to ignore it for the case of just talking about
on the basis that they've been convicted of tax fraud in France, and they're being investigated apparently in other places as well. I think it is quite relevant, really.
Well, it won't stop me using it for the moment, to be honest, because I'm sure they're not the only company fiddling their tax, but I guess you order stuff from Amazon.
Well, Amazon don't fiddle their tax. I mean, there's a difference in you may not like the way they structure their business, and actually there are some rules coming in that will mean they do pay tax here. But for all of that, at least they sort of do declare what they're doing. They don't try and hide it. But anyway, that is a bit political, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, all I'm talking about is the technological side of it, because obviously Leica, controversial for that reason. They've given money to the Tories, but we don't get political on here anymore.
I didn't mention that.
No. I think it's fair to mention it, you know. But, you know, I've done my bit. I Don't use Wetherspoons. I never have, actually, so that wasn't a great thing. We have bought a Hoover since the event, shall we call it, and I haven't bought a Dyson. So I've done my bit, I think. So I'm not going to worry about it. Basically, the bottom line is they're the only provider where you can still, right now, go and get an eSIM. With
it 100, is ridiculous, isn't it?
With 100, I mean,
it really is ridiculous. I mean, last time I travelled abroad, I thought, you know, maybe I was looking at a cheap O2 SIM, because O2 has got quite a good roaming deal. Mm. And I didn't think about it until like the day before. It wasn't possible to get a new SIM as an eSIM. You had to get a physical SIM first and then convert it. Well, yeah, not going to work then. Sorry.
No, and I mean, you can this is still the only one that is easily accessible. If you look around, you can still find... So what happened, I think, is because Leica had this problem, and nothing to do with tax in France or anything, it was all to do with the data leak.
Well, they got hacked, didn't they?
They got hacked, you know. I mean, they're not the first.
No.
My email address is in many. If you go on Have I Been Pawned, it's in almost every leak and every paste that's ever been. So, you know, we all know that. They might have got the last four digits of a card or something like that. I don't tend to worry too much about that, really, not while the banks are looking after us. They had about, I reckon it's a good month where you just simply couldn't do anything with them. And we all know, I think by now, we all know their customer service is appalling. But I do get a little bit annoyed with all the sort of comments about that on hot UK deals and things, because we're all cheapskates if we're using Leica. That's the only reason we're on there, is because A, they're EE, which is still a very good network, and B, they're as cheap as chips. And that's the reason we're using them. And if you don't pay, you know, proper money, it's very easy to go to EE and pay five times the amount a month for the same amount of data and stuff. And that's what you should do if you don't want to moan about there being slight problems with customer service. I work on the basis that I'm never going to need customer services. And if I do, then I have to take it on the chin if I got to wait an hour because I'm being a cheapskate. If you look around, most of the online places like Hot UK Deals and Martin Lewis, they dropped them like a hot potato because they were. I don't know if they were getting kickbacks. They probably were affiliate links on them, I guess. I've never looked into that. If you look around now, all the sort of deals where it used to be 6 months for £7 for 100 gigabytes, they're pretty much disappearing. You can get 3 months now. And I went via a U-Switch, I think, or someone. And that said, when you went through to the link on the Leica site, this is now after they got back to the normal. It's when I got the Pixel and I wanted a SIM in it quickly, essentially. So I thought, right, to heck with it. I don't care they give the Tories money. I'm just going to go and do that and get it. And it said 3 months at £7 and then whatever it is, £20 a month or something like that, or 16 or something. And I thought, well, I'll do what I always did. I'll just change it after 3 months. But when I got to the Leica site, it said, oh, 6 months at £7. OK, fine. So I took that. And then I didn't know this. This was completely new to me, but I couldn't get 5G on the Leica SIM at work. I'd always got, you know, I'd only previously had the Leica eSIM in the iPhone, and I'd always got 5G perfectly fine on it. And then I looked into it a bit more, and there is actually a Google page that tells you which networks you will get 5G on in the UK. And yeah, sure enough, it's just the main boys with a couple of others like ID Mobile, I forget now, but there's a couple of others. And I didn't even know this. The device manufacturers apparently have to work with each network to allow 5G to go through. Mm. And I certainly didn't know that. Obviously, it doesn't affect Apple with the iPhone. So I don't know the ins and outs of it. If anyone does, then please answer on MeWe I'll put a link in there as well.
A little comment on the side of that one. One thing I discovered with my new Sky SIM is that they don't come with 5G enabled.
Yeah.
All Sky SIMs are 5G compatible, but believe it or not, you have to go into the app and say, please enable 5G.
Yeah.
The sad news on the back of that, though, is that having enabled 5G, I still don't get a signal from the 5G O2 transmitter down the road. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hasn't made a lot of odds, but still.
No, absolutely. So I'm stuck. I'm not stuck, because obviously the 4G was pretty quick. It was like a couple of hundred at one point, so it's still pretty good. And it wasn't really a major problem. And it just got me using the Pixel a bit more at work quickly and this sort of thing. And I'd still managed to do a pack in. So I've actually, before the latest revelations of tax and Tories and things, I'd already done it anyway. So I'd packed one of my two master numbers, main numbers I've had for years. And there's nothing special about the numbers. They just happen to be the ones that are on bank accounts and Eon and all the, you know, utility bills. So you've either got to go through and change them all, and you still don't quite know if you've done it, and you know that those numbers, if you ever lose them, eventually are going to turn up with someone else, either sooner or later, because they reuse numbers after a certain amount of time. So you don't really want that to happen.
No,
so
you don't want that.
And then when you guys started talking about the fraud and the in France and all the other stuff, then, you know, of course you don't really want to be a part of that. But I sort of see it as a bit along the lines of, I don't want to be a part of Twitter anymore, but I'm still on there, so I don't want to be a hypocrite either. You know, so I thought, well, I'm going to stick with it for a little while. And then I decided, what I'll do, I will get rid of it. I decided, right, no, I can't do it. I'm going to get rid of it and just be done with it for once and for all. So 3 or 4 days ago, I had a couple of GIFGAF SIMs sitting around. They send you them. I don't know if anyone else gets them randomly through the post, but I do. They're saying, oh, here's a SIM for your mates, and they get an extra 10 quid credit. I don't know. I don't even bother reading it. I think I used it once when I was on holiday for a short term, you know, use. So I got the SIM out. I had two actually, and I opened both of them. I got the SIM out, stuck the SIM in the into the Pixel physical SIM, and away we go. 10 quid on there, 20 gigabytes. I'm only going to use it to swap this, pack this Leica number out to that, and then I will decide where to go with it. You know, in terms of, I didn't really want to go back to Smarty and be spending 16 quid a month again for unlimited, or 12 quid I think it is for 100. Because I'd calculated that in my head is to make this Pixel cheap through the contract, you know. So I thought, I don't want to go back to that. And then I was thinking, well, how much do I need on the Pixel? Well, if that's the only one I'm going to be able to use as a hotspot, then I need the full, you know, I need as much as I can get on it, really. I certainly need a 100 gig SIM on there. Then I discovered that, sorry, this is a bit rambly, but it's sort of as it happened. Then I discovered that GIFGAF now do eSIMs as well. Did you know? I didn't know.
I didn't know that, no. Excuse me.
So they've only just recently introduced them, and you still have to have a physical SIM first, which obviously I did. I had two of them. So you have to have a physical SIM, and then you can do it very easily in the app, and I'll talk about that in a sec. But first thing that happened is I activated the normal SIM and nothing happened. It didn't activate. So I went on to GIFGAF support. It's a bit of an odd system. You have to leave a message and they get back to you. But they do get back. They got back after about 6 hours. And they gave me a detailed breakdown. Very helpful, actually, saying I must be using the wrong SIM, because the SIM I'd activated with the activation code was different. And sure enough, I'd got the two SIMs mixed up and I'd used the activation code for the wrong SIM. So I thought, well, in for a penny, in for a pound. It's a number I don't care about whatsoever. I had, however, kicked off the pack, the number swap, to get the one off Leica. But the brilliant thing about GIFGAF is you can simply go in and stop the transfer. And I can tell anyone that's interested, if you ever stop a transfer, however you do it, whether it's a call to customer services and you stop it, the code that you've already got just appears to the new company, is not used yet. So you can actually use it several times over. And until it actually goes through and exchanges, it won't be there.
So you can basically say, no, I'm going to stop it now, but yeah, you've still got the remainder of that period to say, actually, I do want to do it.
Yep, I've now done it and cancelled it twice with GIFGAF. So I've now done the number swap twice.
They must love you.
And I've cancelled it twice. I don't think they even know, because it's all automatic in their app. Their app is great.
Yeah.
Or the website. It's really good. Even as I'm relaying this, I'm getting confused as to what's where, because it has been a very strange couple of weeks with all of this. And then I'm thinking, well, I don't really want the Leica SIM eSIM. I don't really want the Leica eSIM on the Pixel, because I can't get 5G on it. So I need a 5G SIM in that, really. So that's not going to work at all. So what do I do? Well, I can't transfer the Leica SIM, because that has been up until now, and I'm about to reveal it. That's been impossible. There was a very convoluted way that you had to do it, and that was you had to go to Leica, buy another eSIM package, but not put a payment method on it. Then you had to get in touch with customer services, which in itself is an epic challenge, and you had to ask them to swap your package to the new SIM that you'd just bought. Now, I don't know about anyone else listening to this. I literally wouldn't trust them to burn a piece of toast, let alone to do something as complicated as that. So I would never go down that route. So my route was always to cancel the Leica SIM by simply turning off auto renewal and or deleting your card, and buying a new one. And that was it, you know. And then you had to do the pack dance again, out to some random SIM, back into Leica. And none of that's been happening.
It is a farce, isn't it, really?
Yeah, a complete nightmare. None of that's been happening. And I kind of went crazy yesterday, because I thought, you know what, I'm just going to go on the... I read a very interesting article. Whenever I search for anything now, I put the word Reddit at the end. I haven't learnt that trick. I've learned that trick very recently. So a lot of people out there are laughing at me right now, because apparently that's a very common thing for us geeks to do. You simply put Leica SIM swap, eSIM swap, Reddit, space Reddit, and all you get is Reddit answers. It's absolutely brilliant, because Reddit is, you know, overwhelmingly brilliant. So one of the things hinted at the fact that now the website's back up for Leica, it's had some improvements, and you can do an eSIM swap on it. So off I toddled to Leica's website.
Maybe the hackers fixed the website.
Maybe they did. Yeah, maybe they actually sort of rewrote it while it was down. Went to the website, and when you go to do SIM management in your account, you go to SIM management, and there's three choices, and I can't instantly remember the three, but one is swap an eSIM to a new device, which is exactly what I wanted to do. So I clicked that, and it says call customer services. So that's the method we just discussed. So I thought, I'll ignore that. And the second one, the third one first was swap your eSIM to a physical SIM. I didn't click that, but I imagine that's pretty simple. You click that, I guess you follow that, and they send you a SIM in the post. Fine. The middle one said swap your SIM to an eSIM. And I didn't see the first part, didn't say swap your eSIM to an eSIM, which of course it wouldn't, because that's what option number one is. And I clicked it, and I thought, this looks great. And it just said, swap it. This is it. And I clicked it. And after I clicked it, I thought, you're an idiot. I don't know what you've just done, but I think that's the option for swapping a physical SIM to an eSIM. Excuse me. I'll have to let you talk in a minute.
Well, you know.
You know how it goes.
Yeah.
And off on the Pixel, I looked on the Pixel, the signal has just gone on the Leica eSIM, and looked on the iPhone, and sure enough, it was there. EE, it comes up as EE, not Leica, on the iPhone. EE and two bars and LTE next to it. So I thought, well, it's worked, right? It's completely worked. Went on there, tried to run a speed test. Nothing happened. Tried to phone the number. It said the number you've dialed is not recognised. Tried everything. Nothing at all. Went back on the website and it said, we're going to send you a text message to confirm that it's you. And that was kind of a scary moment because I didn't have a signal on it. And I basically convinced myself that I'd lost my, luckily, the second main number, not the main one that was on, that I know is on everything. And I was resigned to it. So I went on to Leica and I cancelled my auto renewal, took my card off and thought, OK, that's it. No problem at all. That's absolutely fine. A short time later, I got a text, about 4 hours later, actually, after I'd watched Ipswich play. I got a text saying, your Leica thing is now activated, something along those lines. And I thought, hang on a minute, went to do a speed test, nothing at all. Suddenly thought, oh, let's check the APN. And sure enough, the APNs were all blank.
Yeah, so
it wasn't going to work very well. Put the APNs in, and by the way, a little tip for anyone using Leica at all is unless you put APNs into all the boxes, especially the bottom one, which is hotspot, you don't see a hotspot on the iPhone until you put the APN in the hotspot section as well. You've got three separate sections. They've got data, LTE, and hotspot, which is very weird. But you put that in. It's very simple. data.leicamobile.co.uk. Then it's LMUK for the user, and plus, PLUS, is the password. You've got to put those in all three boxes. Sure enough, it's working like a champ on the iPhone again. So then I kind of thought, okay, so now I've gone back in and put my card back on. I know you'll be disgusted at me for that, but I don't know how much of my £7 is going to go to the Tories, or indeed whether this company will even exist at the time of the next general election, the way they're going in other countries.
Yeah, they seem to have got a bit of a track record of getting into trouble, don't they?
But the bottom line is, it's £7 for 100 gigabytes for 6 months, and I'm okay with that. My conscience is clear. So there you go. What do you think of that?
Well, it certainly sounds like quite a lot of hard work, but it sounds like you practice.
Yeah. It's fun for tech support agents. It's fun, mate. That's
yeah,
what
there was one point, wasn't there, where you couldn't get 5G, if I remember rightly.
I can't get it on the Pixel, and I can't yet prove that it still works on the iPhone because there's certainly no 5G on anything where I live. And
you've got no 5G, so you go to work, presumably.
Until I go to work, or until at least I go a couple of miles towards Ipswich, which I probably won't be doing this weekend, to be fair. So I might do tomorrow. But yeah, in the past, I've had Leica for a long time on that, you know, and it has always given 5G. I suppose my point is, I don't, as you said earlier, I just don't see why we can't just get more eSIM. You can actually now, I think, it's Vodafone, you can buy SIM, eSIM straight away.
Yeah, you can do.
Possibly even O2 as well.
No, you can't do O2.
No, not
O2. To be honest, I was looking at doing that only the other day, and that was when I ended up with the Sky one.
Yeah.
But I mean, Vodafone you can, but Vodafone's idea of a fair daily charge for roaming is £6.85.
Yeah.
My idea of a fair charge for roaming. Sky is £2 a day. Well,
yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not terrible. I mean, to be honest, I don't believe there's any reason to charge anything extra for roaming at all, in the same way as there isn't any reason to pay more for long distance phone calls within a country.
It's just
a revenue earner. Put it this way, every phone network in the EU has to provide roaming for free, and they haven't all collapsed, have they? Including several networks owned by Vodafone and O2, just for starters, and indeed three. So.
And Vodafone is the only one that hasn't got 5G at my workplace, although I guess that'll change once the merger ever, if it ever goes through.
Well, Vodafone says that it's got great 5G where I am. Well, all I can say is I've walked around and there's no 5G within a mile of where I am.
Yeah.
I literally spent an afternoon trying it because I was thinking, what am I doing wrong? But no, there isn't any.
No. And I mean, what I can say is GIFGAF are saying that they will have it purchasable soon up front. I think
my guess is O2 will be the same.
Yeah, we have got 5G on O2 at work, but I've only ever used it once or twice because I've very rarely got an O2 SIM available.
I actually think there's a lot to be said for O2, except that its coverage is not good. And I mean, I've never seen O2 5G, despite trying lots of times. I mean, I literally went down the road because the 5G transmitter with an O2 plate on the outside of it is pretty much next door to my local post office. So I took the SkySIM down there, I mean, having got 5G enabled, and thought, well, you know, that should be a pretty amazing signal there. Not a stiff of 5G, so I don't know what's going on there. Something's odd there. Maybe it's a dummy transmitter or something, but it's been there 18 months.
You tell us a little bit about Spoozoo. You had a little play with them. I don't know anything about them. I mean, perhaps they commit tax fraud in other countries. Who knows?
Well, I don't know, but I think they're quite a large Austrian company. They use EE. I got in on an unlimited SIM offer for about 16 quid a month when they launched. I think they now charge 30 something for it.
For 16 quid now, you'll only get 30 gigabytes, yeah.
Yeah, it's been absolutely brilliant. I mean, it basically gives me full-speed EE data. It does do roaming in Europe, but not anywhere else. Although that's fine for my purposes. Although they can't make... I mean, where I travel most of all is Switzerland, and they can't make their mind up whether roaming is included in Switzerland.
And what about the eSIM? Because you can buy an eSIM straight away, yes, or...
I haven't tried an eSIM one.
Well, let's try it. I'm going to try and buy one. Let's see what happens. I'll try and check out. £34.90 for unlimited. And yes, you can indeed buy an eSIM straight away.
I think it's going to come because it's pretty obvious that Apple is going to push the agenda. I mean, I don't know if you saw, but Miriam Joire was talking to, I think it was Matt Miller the other day. And he was complaining about the iPhone in America being eSIM only. And she was going, and actually what I did to avoid that, I literally bought one in Canada and paid a little bit extra for it just to get a SIM tray. I mean, I'm amazed, actually, that when Apple did that in America, the result wasn't an immediate flurry of eSIMs everywhere else. Because I thought that was almost guaranteed to be on the iPhone 15. I actually think they're a pain in the bum, to be honest. Mostly, not the eSIM itself, but because of the implementation of them. You know, they can be very unwieldy, can't they?
I tell you what, I am not looking forward to the day, and I think hopefully with our customers it will be a long way off. But the day where, you know, we're transferring an iPhone to an iPhone and it fails to transfer the eSIM, you know, we are going to get... It's all going to be our fault, and we're not going to be able to do anything about it because the networks won't talk to us. We're going to have a new form for them to sign to say that we can't be responsible for that.
I must say, when I went from the 14 Pro Max to the 15 Pro Max, there was definitely an element of holding my breath, but to be fair, it transferred absolutely fine.
I think, like everything, in most cases it will. I must admit, I really like the Spoozoo site. I think it's so good. You can choose to keep your number and give them your pack code and that right there, right now. But more importantly, they give you a choice of 10 numbers to choose from. Yeah. That's fabulous.
Yeah. I like that as well.
That's
isn't
it? Because you never know. Certain numbers mean certain things to people.
With us, my wife isn't good at numbers. That's probably why she married an accountant, isn't it? But I was able to get her back in the days of Easy Mobile, when that EasyJet tried to get into mobile for a while. They were allowing you to pick numbers, and I managed to get her a mobile number with the last seven digits, the same as our landline.
Mm.
Which was great, although now the landline's been discontinued and we don't have a landline. It's probably a bit academic, but there you go. That was years ago. So she's had it for years, and it's been it's been good. But yes, I like the fact you can choose numbers as well. Very often it doesn't matter at all, but equally sometimes that's quite a nice number.
I'm just having a look to see if anything is exciting. 055088. That's quite nice, isn't it? 055088. That's lovely.
Yeah, it's quite reasonable to remember.
Quite like that. It's just, I mean, they're not particularly cheap. I don't know. I think for £34.60, you could get a similar deal with EE themselves, I would imagine.
Probably, although it wouldn't include roaming, I don't suppose.
I tell you what, you have to be careful with EE, because they now sell plans that have a 10 megabits per second cap on them.
Yes, I've seen that. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
That is outrageous, in my opinion, because people are just not going to know that, are they? They're possibly not going to care either, I don't know. But
well, I guess a lot of them won't, that's the trouble. But if it matters to you, it really will matter. So maybe you've got to be clued up. I mean, Vodafone did that for a while, didn't they? They had all sorts of different speeds according to what you paid.
Oh, that must be relatively complicated for them to even police it, I would have thought. But
my guess is that they just put a setting on the account when the account set up, so that you can't actually achieve more.
Horrible idea. Absolutely horrible idea.
The trouble is, whilst we have whilst Ofcom is as spineless as it is, I mean, you know, let's go back to this one. They all said when we left the EU, they wouldn't reintroduce roaming charges. The only one that's actually abided by that is O2. So I take my hat off to them, and it's why I actually think maybe I will get an O2 SIM. But quietly, EE has increased its monthly charge for roaming from £10 a month to £25 a month recently.
That is just
a straight rip-off, because I don't believe they've actually got that much more cost.
No, and I mean, luckily, that was the only lie about Brexit, so it's not too bad. At least that's the only lie.
Another thing as well, that, you know, there was a time when they didn't increase things mid-contract. Now, you know, speaking of somebody who's self-employed, you know, when you get a cost that goes up by 17%, for a start off, it represents a very significant increase. But secondly, how much can I put my charges up by? It should have 3.7% plus inflation, that's for sure.
Yeah, to be honest, some of those went up, as you say, some of those went up by 17%. That seems as criminal to me as what Leica have done in France. I know it's on a different scale
yes, it's on a much bigger scale.
But it's legal.
Well, the fact is, Ofcom is being spineless about it. You know, why are they being allowed to put the price up at all mid-contract? If you sign up for 2 years, that should be the price. Yeah, sure. If it rolls, I think saying to you, well, okay, inflation has been around since then. If you want to roll it, then it's going to cost some more. Well, I can get that. But to say, you know, I mean, how many contracts do you sign where you say, right, I'm tied in for 2 years, but you can't tell me now what the price is for the second year?
Yeah.
I mean, it's outrageous, isn't it? It's just a bloody joke.
Yeah.
But Ofcom is utterly spineless on this and so many other things.
Are they controlled? I don't know much about Ofcom, but are they directed by the government, or are they totally independent?
Well, I think it's like so many things these days, that they aren't controlled by the government, but that they have a lot of placemen in place. At least that's my suspicion. I mean, you know, what would I know? But it doesn't come over as much of a watchdog at all. I mean, what's it watching? It doesn't stop some of the excesses of some of the obscure news channels. It doesn't do anything to rein in the phone companies when they want to stick massive increases on people at a time when they're... I mean, it's not even as if we've all got lots of spare cash at the moment, is it?
No.
You know, but we're all supposed to stomach that sort of increase. I don't know. I've not got a lot of time for Ofcom, as you might gather.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think me and a chocolate teapot could do a better job than they're doing, personally.
Yeah, absolutely. In other news for me with the Pixel, I cannot for the life of me, and I'm supposed to be tech support, I cannot for the life of me get all my work apps on the Pixel.
Really? Why not?
I don't know. I mean, the iPhone...
You mean they're not available? Or...
No, they're perfectly available. And so on the iPhone, it's just a piece of cake. You simply put them on there, and you put a couple of... You have to do a bit of security and stuff, and then they're on there. The downside of the iPhone is if I get work emails over the weekend, I have to either block all texts from all notifications rather from Gmail, which I don't really want to do, but I can't just block the work ones, or if I can't find a way to do it. We use commercially we use Gmail for all our stuff at work, and Google Drive and everything else. On the Android side, I really loved the idea. I was going to switch all my work stuff over to the Pixel, because you can simply turn off the work profile on a Friday night if you're off for the weekend, and turn it back on again on Tuesday morning. But no, I can't get it on there. It says, your Gmail is managed by your work policy. We will be installing device policy app and we will be controlling it. It goes on there. I even have a load of apps like Gmail and Google Drive. They all have a briefcase next to them. Some of them work, some of them don't. But every time I try and do Gmail, which is the most important, it just comes up and says, cannot put this on. Contact your IT admin department for further details.
Could you not forward your work Gmail to a Gmail address set up specially for the purpose, so that you could switch that off instead?
Possibly. I don't honestly know. I don't suspect it would let me add it. I don't reckon it would let me do that, to be honest. I suspect it wouldn't, because I can't do much with the Gmail account. I mean, it's not the end of the world, because I tend to check things when I'm not in anyway. So
being self-employed, you just can't say I'm going to switch my work email off for a fortnight, because apart from anything else, you come back to 950.
Exactly.
Or in fact, probably more than that.
I nearly always check it on it.
Two little updates on my Pixel Fold. I mean, going off onto GSM Arena, it goes, oh, this is now an Android 14, blah, blah, blah. And I look at mine and it says Android 13. And it absolutely refuses to find me the 14 update. So I've forced the issue by putting it on QPR1. Download me the beta version. But why on earth it wouldn't upload to upgrade to 14, I don't know. I mean, one or two issues with this purchase, which I think you're probably aware of, like it turned up without a box or anything else, which I think ought to have been disclosed, but we're not going to fall out with the person who sold it to me over it. I just think it would have had a better feel to it if I'd known that in advance.
Yeah.
The fact it's stuck on Android 13, I really don't understand. I don't see how anybody is going to have done that to it.
That can't be right for a Pixel, surely.
No, exactly. So anyway, I'm putting the beta of Android 14 on it. The only thing I think will get broken by that is Google Pay. Well, I wouldn't be using the Pixel Fold for paying anyway, so that doesn't really matter to me.
Why can't you just click update and get normal Android 14 on it?
Because no matter how many times you try it, it just says it's up to date. It also says it was up to date with September security as well.
Bizarre.
So, completely bizarre. I tried several things, changed network. Rebooted it, all while we've been talking, and it hasn't made a damn a difference. But anyway, why not be on QPR1? It's going to be released in a month.
And
actually, the 7 Pro was on QPR1. The only thing is I can't downgrade it to ordinary 14, because it will wipe the device, and I've just spent loads of time putting stuff on it. And in other news, another rather surprising news, having said that Steve's videos compelled me to go out and get another one, and we've received some surprising news that Steve has in fact no longer got the Pixel Fold. He's moved it on. So there you go.
He hasn't sold it, has he?
That's my information, yes.
I think he's lent it. I thought he'd lent it to someone. Maybe I'm wrong.
That's not the information.
He said on the show today it's gone via Ted to Jim Fowle on the forum. I thought he was lending it because he's coming on the show soon, but maybe I'm wrong.
I
misheard it.
I haven't listened to the show this week, but that's the information I was.
I may have misheard it.
maybe Steve wasn't, maybe I'm doing him a great injustice.
I think he's just an iPhone fanboy mostly anyway, isn't he? So
Actually, he spent years, hasn't he, resisting the inevitable. But to me, I always thought the iPhone was the obvious phone in lots of ways for Steve.
Absolutely. Just because his whole family's got it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, exactly like me, in fact. You know, the iPhone is the phone I do all my work on. What do I enjoy using? Well, my various Google phones.
It's interesting because I've been doing the SIM dance this week, and I, even now, as I sit here looking at the iPhone, looking at the Pixel, I'm thinking, yeah, hang on a minute, what's in that? So in the iPhone, we've got the Leica and GIFGAF, and I've moved ID Mobile to the Pixel. Yeah, so Pixel's got ID.
So have you got two eSIMs in the iPhone? I've got two eSIMs
in the iPhone, no physical, and one physical SIM in the... Yeah, that's right, yeah. And they're both... Because in the iPhone, they can both be active, can't they?
The
Pixel doesn't... I don't think the Pixel does that. I don't think you can have two eSIMs.
Well, the Pixel, confusingly, talks about SIM slot 1 and SIM slot 2, but I'm pretty sure it's only a single...
Definitely only got one physical SIM slot. Yeah, you can't put two physical SIMs in it. That's 100% guarantee. But also, just selecting what data you want is not the same as the iPhone either. It's slightly different the way that it works. But then, you expect these slight differences, I guess. I just suddenly thought of something that I couldn't do on the Pixel yesterday, which surprised me, and now it's gone out of my mind. Carry on, sir.
You were talking about your woes with 5G, weren't you? But it obviously isn't that, because we've talked about it.
Leon's just asked me on the group. I don't think he listens to the show anyway, but he just asked me, did I get 5G working on Leica?
I told him he's got to listen to the show, especially after he gave me a very unhelpful reply to my sort of bemoaning being stuck on Android 13.
Oh, right, okay. The answer is no, but I'm fairly convinced I have solved it.
Don't want to go 2 miles down the road to find out.
I could do. I mean, it's not the end of the world, I guess. But I have got some important football watching to do at 12 o'clock because Norwich hopefully are getting beaten again.
You become a Norwich fan all of a sudden.
No. It's anyone but Norwich, really. It's Blackburn today. I'm a Blackburn fan today.
I get this here. You know, it always bemuses me. Like obviously, there are two football teams of any note in Birmingham. One's Aston Villa and the other's Birmingham City. The Birmingham fans absolutely can't have any pleasure at all out of Aston Villa winning and vice versa. And I just think, I'd rather a Birmingham team win than, for argument's sake, I'm picking at random Manchester. Not that I have a problem with Manchester, but, their two teams in Manchester are a bit unrepresentative, really, aren't they? Because they are very, very big money teams.
Absolutely, yeah. No. An Ipswich fan could never, ever want Norwich to win. We kind of want each other to be in the same league, I think.
So you can have the joy of beating each other up.
Yeah, and I would actually want Norwich to win if they were in a cup final against Man United or almost any other team other than Ipswich, I guess. I genuinely would, because I think it does an area. I mean, Ipswich is buzzing at the moment because of the football team, and generally people at work who don't know what a football looks like are talking about the team. You know, it does give a buzz.
You're almost like having a team that knows how to play football this year, aren't you?
It really is. And the exciting thing about yesterday, I'm glad I found a football fan at last, because there's none in our back channel. If you're a good football fan and a nice person, contact me. But yesterday we played your lot. Obviously not your lot, but Birmingham
City.
They are the
nearest team to me, yeah.
We played them, and we played for the first... Well, basically for 70 minutes, you were us. You were how we've played all season. You were superb. I am not a fan of your new manager. That's not your fault, generally. Do you know who the manager of Birmingham City is?
I do.
Jolly good.
Erstwhile England captain, Mr. Rooney.
Jolly good. I think he was giving it large about how he was going to beat Ipswich. And I have to admit, at minute 78, I was thinking, OK, this is not great. We're 2-0 down and we were playing absolutely... just haven't played that way in the whole season. People said midweek because we lost 3-1 to Fulham in the League Cup or Caribo Cup. People were kind of saying, oh, you know, there you go, Ipswich Athenry. The team that played on Wednesday night in the Caribo Cup was not the team that had been doing so well in the Championship. There was 11 changes. That's basically the whole team. It was a B team because it wasn't a priority as much as anything. But the team that turned up yesterday might as well have been the B team, even though it was the A team. And the result was 2-2. We scored two goals in 10 minutes. Same bloke, yeah, actually. Same guy and a substitute, you know, in about the 70th minute. So we came back 2-2 and your team threw it away. But it's about the third time, I think, we've come from behind. The other two times we came from 2-0 down and won the game. We just ran out of time, really, yesterday, but it was on the cards for a little while. And it does seem like a team that is capable. You know, we have currently got... double plus one the number of points that Norwich have got, which is incredible. Just simply incredible. And we've still got... If we win on Tuesday night against Rotherham, which is kind of, I'd put 100 quid on that, to be fair, we are 1 point behind Leicester at the top and 9 points clear of Leeds in third.
You have put £100 on that, or you would put...
I would easily put 100 quid on the fact that we would win, but I wouldn't in real life because the odds on that will be evens probably. You know, you're risking 100 to win 100 sort of thing. Yeah. If that, it might even be against, actually, I think, actually for it. Now, it would be against because Rotherham are possibly already relegated even this early in the season. They're not doing great. There's only
really?
One. They're second bottom. There's only one team worse than them. So, yeah, so anyway, good. Good football chat, football supporter. Lovely. Enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's definitely the main thing, though, isn't it? So you're on your long weekend off, are you, at the moment?
I am on my long weekend off, yeah, which is just fabulous. I mean, it is. I mean, to be fair, you don't know this, but I did... Well, you might know it because you might have seen it in the back channel. Last week with James, I did about a 10-minute rant about how it's not great at work at the moment.
I deleted
the whole 10 minutes because it just wasn't the right thing to put into a podcast tech. And the only thing I'm going to say is, you know, I am disappointed in the fact that I used to absolutely love it, and at the moment it's not as enjoyable as it was. But hopefully things will change again the nearer we get to Christmas. But that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say any more. There's a few people listen to it from work, and they'll all know what I mean. So yeah, we'll leave it at that. But it's also for me. It's a little bit because I've lost my, which I said on the last show, I lost the lovely little lady that I worked with before. She's gone on to another department in the store, which is fabulous for her. But I'm realising how well we work together, really, and still, you know, still getting used to the new person, really. So, yeah, well, it'll all work itself out, to be fair. And by the way, the new person may well listen and know that's not the reason why I don't find it. He'll know what I mean anyway, so it's not a problem with that. I wish I could remember what it was on the Pixel that I found very weird. Because I was just playing with a Pixel in my hand and I suddenly thought, oh, you can't do that with the Pixel, but I can't remember. I mean, can you think of anything now that Android can do that iPhone can't? Because 3 years ago even, there was a ton of stuff. And if you go back 10 years, you know, the iPhone couldn't do anything.
There's not a lot, is there?
I can't really think of anything. You know, that one can do that the other can't. They all seem to copy each other. left, right, and centre, don't they?
Well, I think that's the thing. What can they do? I can't really go anything they can do that can't be done. I mean, there must be things, but it's more often than not, it's just that you've got to achieve the same result by going about it a different way. That's what usually happens.
Yeah, I had a fail on Google Pay the other day, but it's much better than it used to be. I used to sometimes not even be able to pay with Google Pay. But it has failed once out of about 10 tries. Generally speaking, it's okay. And I find that I stick my thumb on it just to unlock it, even though I don't think you have to technically, but I do. Oh, I know what I was going to say, and it wasn't the thing I thought of, but it's another thing. And that is I don't know what the Fold does, but the Pixel 8, I don't think the Fold does it, because I think it's a G3 feature. Finally got a decent face unlock, which is usable for banking and everything else.
Yeah,
and
absolutely
superb. Absolutely superb.
The 8 Pro does, but the Fold doesn't.
Yeah, and I absolutely love that. It's made it much more like an iPhone experience, really. That
does your bank allow it?
So if I click on Nationwide, I'm pretty sure it does. I generally pick up the iPhone.
Face unlock, yes, but not putting any banking apps on it.
Yeah, so at the moment it just failed, but I think it's because I've got headphones on, and I don't normally have headphones on. Let me try Starling, see what that does. Starling is perfectly happy with the headphones. Nationwide, I'm just trying to remember now whether I've ever tried Nationwide without the headphones on. Let me try. I was holding it a hell of a long way away, actually. Let's try that. It's having a think. And yeah, no, Nationwide's absolutely fine with the headphones on, with the Face ID. I was just holding it too far away for Nationwide to get a take. So yeah, they're both absolutely fine.
That's the mountain.
Yeah, it works really, really well. Can't really fault it, to be honest. No, I cannot think for the life of me what the other thing was. And I guess we need to wrap up, really.
Well, you say we'll have to carry it over to the next time.
Yeah, I'll have to think. Maybe this here's an idea. Why don't we write notes or something that we want to talk about? That would be a
show notes. Yeah, yeah, we could do that. I mean,
yeah,
so.
Yeah,
oh, might do that.
Might think about that actually at some point.
Exciting news is that my Pixel Fold is now an Android 14 beta and October security. Doesn't look massively different from what it did before, in all honesty. But
no, sure, I don't think there tends to be that many things that happen these days, does it really? It seems to be all fairly steady really at the moment, which I think is a good thing probably generally.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing for sure, is it?
Yeah, so I think with that then, unless you can think of anything else, I think we'll wrap things up.
I think we're wrapped up until next time now, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think you've got a little family event on the next show, haven't you?
I do. I'm hoping that James will be stepping up to the
plate. Yeah, we'll have to see if the old boy can be roused in a couple of weeks.
I don't think he's partying. So with a bit of luck, he'll be all right.
Yeah, we'll have to give him a little go. I'll send him a message in Russian and see if he replies. Lovely. Well, guys and girls, thank you. I don't think we've got any girls, actually. If you're a girl and you listen to this, will you let us know, please?
Yeah, send Kev some fan mail.
Send me some fan mail, but real girls only, please, not hairy girls. I don't mean hairy girls, because that's not fair. But if you're a real... I'm going to stop right there.
Stop digging, Kev.
I'm going to fill the hole back in and apologise profusely for that. And we'll see everyone in a couple of weeks, one way or another.
Bye.
Super. Thank you. Bye.